17. Exodus chapter number 17. So if you aren't familiar where that is, we have the book of Genesis is the first one, and then you have Exodus. All right, so Genesis and then Exodus. Chapter number 17, and we're going to read verses 8 through 16. Verses 8 through 16. While you're turning there, I'll mention this. Our church softball league starts tomorrow, if it doesn't rain us out. So we're praying for good weather. And the only unfortunate thing about it is we play all the way over in Harrison. I know that's kind of far, but that's the only church league, softball league, that we really found. So maybe in the future we'll come on the east side, this side of town, if we find a church softball league over here. But, it is out in Harrison. It's at a place called River City West. If you're interested, ever want to come out and watch us play, there's, Peter, Bruce, Nick, myself, and some others that play Malachi and Austin. And if you're ever interested in playing, if you're like, hey, I didn't know you had a church softball, I'd like to play, let me know, We'd love to involve you. So, okay. Exodus chapter number 17, starting in verse number 8. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited, defeated, okay, Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for being in your house today. Lord, it's been such an encouragement to see everybody coming and just excited and the smiles on the faces. Lord, I'm excited for what you're going to do for this community, how we're just getting things ready for you to send them in, Lord, and we trust that you will. Be with me now as I preach, Lord. I thank you for the singing that's been done here. Lord, it's all been done to the honor and glory of you, to just lift you up and to praise your name. Be with the services now, Lord, and change hearts and touch hearts as only you can. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here in Exodus chapter 17, of course, we're all familiar with Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. Well, here we come to the Israelites are trekking through the wilderness. And of course, they go through stages of complaining, right? First, God used Moses to deliver them from slavery. And then they start complaining about being hungry. And then God sends them food, right, on a daily basis. And then they complain that it's the same food. Okay, so they just were complaining. Then they were complaining about being thirsty. And then God has Moses strike a rock, and they get water from a rock. And of course, that's a picture of Jesus, our Savior, being smitten for us, and the water of life flows freely. So, lots of things going on. Well, here in our text, the Israelites are going through the wilderness, and the Amalekites come to fight with Israel. Well, Moses tells Joshua to go out and choose men to fight with Amalek, and then he has Aaron and Hur go up with him, because it says when he held up his arms, they prevailed in battle, the Israelites did. But when his arms went down, they were losing. Well, of course, your hands get, pretty tired. Your arms are going to get tired. So Aaron and Hur each took a side of Moses. They gave him something to sit on, and they held up his hands so that Israel ultimately got the victory. That's what's going on in our text. Three things I want you to notice this morning. First of all, I want you to expect a battle. Expect a battle. Second of all, we need to enlist others. Enlist others. others. And then thirdly, envision the victory. Envision the victory. But first of all, I want you to expect a battle. Look back at verse number 8 in our text again. It says, Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. You see, Christian, you need to understand that we're going to have battles in our lives. You know why? Because God created us to be perfect and sinless, but Adam and Eve messed that up for us. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Right? But you and I would have messed it up as well. But because we're sinners and we have a fallen nature, we're going to have battles. And you say, well, that's of the devil. Yes, I understand. The devil will attack you. In fact, get ready, because when things are going great, the devil's going to attack you. Things were going great for Israel. God has given them food. God has given them water. He led them out of slavery. And they're like celebrating and saying, things are going great. And that's when the devil attacked. Now, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12, says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, first and foremost, we need to understand the devil is always going to attack. Why? Because he doesn't want to give us victory, because we'll give God the glory. Amen? The devil will attack. We need to expect a battle at all times. But you see, it's not only the devil. It's also this thing we have called our flesh, right? Let's be honest. Don't we do dumb things sometimes? Don't we do dumb things and then kind of blame God for it? But we're like, God, why did you do it? He's like, I didn't. You did, you dummy. Right? We do dumb things and cause problems in our own lives, and yet we want to blame God for it. But you and I, Christian, we need to understand, we need to expect a battle, because the devil will make sure of it, and also our own dumb things that we do will bring a battle. Anybody in here married and can say amen to doing dumb things? Amen, right? Husbands are like, yeah, I do dumb things all the time. Wives are like, yeah, my husband does dumb things all the time. Okay? They do dumb things, right? And in marriage, you're going to expect a battle. Don't get married and think, oh, it's going to be just great forever until I die. No, it's not. Amen. I have a tremendous marriage. I think my wife and I, we have, honest to God, I can be honest here. Never have we had like a shouting match with each other. That's just not the relationship we have. You know, we don't shout at each other. But obvious, and she's back in junior church, if you don't see her, okay? She's back there in junior church. So you'll see her after services, hopefully. But we've never like shouted at each other, but obviously we've had little tiffs where we get annoyed with each other. She is always wrong, I'll tell you. Because she's not in here, amen? No, I'm just kidding. No, you know, we all do those things. But my point is, in marriage, don't think, well, this was good, but we had our first fight, so now I'm leaving. No, expect a battle. Maybe I shouldn't use the word battle, but hey, let's use it. Expect a battle. Understand that you're in the flesh. The devil will throw things at your way to get you annoyed, to get you to lose your patience, to get you to be annoyed at each other. You know, sometimes, I mean, there's been times where CJ's just been annoyed at me. CJ's my wife's name. Is annoyed at me because I was breathing too heavily. Like, really? Breathe a little louder, would you, Kurt? You want me to stop breathing? What is the deal here, you know? Expect a battle. How about raising kids? Oh, that's smooth sailing, isn't it? Anybody in here have kids? Yeah, right. That's smooth sailing. You never have any problems there, do you? No, expect a battle, Christian. But if a battle comes your way, don't just give up and flee and think, well, guess what? You go get another spouse, you're going to have a battle with him. Get rid of your kids. Don't do that, okay? But you get rid of your kids and get other kids, guess what? You're going to have a battle with him. Amen? Expect a battle. Know that it's coming, and understand that the devil is trying to throw you off course to get you to give up on God, to get you to give up on your family, to get you to give up on your spouse. Expect a battle. Deuteronomy chapter 25, I said the devil attacks when things are going well, right? Well, how about this? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 and 18 says this. It says, remember what Amalek, who fought them, did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee, by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. So I said, the devil will attack when you're after you have victory. But guess what? The devil's also going to attack you when you're weary. The devil's also going to attack you when you're tired. The devil's also going to attack you when you felt like you've already been attacked six other times. Amen? That's when the devil will attack. In short, the devil's always going to attack. Expect a battle. By the way, Christian, if you're in one of those mountain times of your life, look around for those that you feel might be in that valley, because the devil's attacking them. So if they're down here in that valley, they're getting kicked while they're down. They need someone who's up on the mountain to encourage them, or maybe help them up, or maybe give a word of encouragement, or maybe a letter in the mail that'll help them keep going. Amen, Christian? That's what we're supposed to do. Expect a battle. Know that the devil's going to attack. Know that the devil is attacking not only you, but those around you. Sometimes God is calling on you to help those around you get through that battle. Amen. Look at Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bible, you got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Hold your spot in Exodus, by the way. But go to Ecclesiastes, chapter number four, verse number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, actually verse 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Christian, we need to expect the battle. Understand that the devil's complete goal is to knock you out of the race of doing anything for God. And then we need to understand that others around us are going through a battle, and maybe God's calling on us to help them out. Let's expect a battle, because the devil will always attack. Amen? So first of all, not only expect a battle, but secondly, and we kind of alluded to here, is enlist others. Enlist others. Now, I told you to hold your spot back in Exodus, so we're going back there. Exodus chapter 17, look at verse number 9. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Look at verse 10 again. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. You see, Moses knew a battle was coming. So you know what he said? He said, Joshua, I want you to go out and choose other people to help us. I want you to go out and enlist others in this battle to help us out. I want you to go out there and enlist others, Joshua. And by the way, this is the first mention of Joshua in the Bible. And Joshua, we know, came to be a great leader for the Lord. Not only did he ask Joshua to enlist others, but Moses enlisted others. He got Aaron and Hur to go up with him, didn't he? You know why? Because you can't get victory alone, Christian. You can't have victory alone. God designed us to be the kind of people that will be in community with each other. That's what God designed. Galatians says, bear you one another's burdens. If you bear your own burdens, you're going to quit after a while. You're going to quit on God. God, I can't handle it. Yeah, you need a community of believers that you can be a part of so that we can bear your burdens with you. Amen? We need to be encouraged with each other. We need to help each other. You know what that entails? Enlisting others around you. If you're going out and doing something for God, don't do it alone. Have somebody do it with you. And maybe just to train them, right? Moses brought Aaron and Hur. Moses also said, Joshua, go out and get others to help you. He enlisted others in the fight. Once Amalek attacked, Moses knew right away, we can't win alone. We need help. Amen. Christian, you and I, we need to enlist others around us. That will do it. First of all, we need to enlist others around us into salvation, right? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, what is that? The Great Commission. We're supposed to enlist others around us unto salvation. Where our job, our complete job as a Christian, is to get out the word of Jesus Christ, to give out the gospel, help others come unto a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Enlist others into salvation. Not only that, we're supposed to enlist others into service. Into service. Oh, you're saved now? Okay, we're going to move on to the next person. No. We're supposed to disciple them. We're supposed to train them up. We're supposed to teach them what they should do in the house of God. We're supposed to train and disciple them. Oh, you're saved now? Okay, we'll never talk to you again. No. Disciple them into service for the Lord. We need people who are willing not only to be a part of the battle, but willing to bring in others to help them. Sometimes we get in our mindset like, hey, this is my job. Get out of here. What are you doing? Get out. Get away. This is my spot. I sit here. Wait, what are you doing? This is my classroom. This is my job. Get out of here. No. We're supposed to enlist others to help. It's our job to be, once again, a community of believers, because why? We can do more for the cause of Christ than we can alone. It's our job to enlist others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Listen, if you're out here today and you're not in the battle, God says you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be in the battle. Number one, if you're not saved, you need to understand you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and rose again, proving that he was God. Confess him as your Savior. But then after that, you're supposed to get involved in the work. You're supposed to, and then look, and if you're like, well, I'm only visiting, I can't be here. Hey, we'd love to have you get involved here. But if you're only visiting and you're like, well, I'm involved, well, then get involved at the other church you're at. Get involved in the work of the Lord. Amen. Get involved. Now notice this. Aaron and Hur were able to see that Moses needed help. So they went and helped. Look at verse number 12 of our text, please. Look at verse number 12. It says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Now listen, everybody's gifted. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Holy Spirit has gifted you in an area that he wants you to help the body of Christ. Amen? If that's the case, which is what the Bible teaches, then get involved, right? Moses didn't say, hey Aaron, my arm's tired here. Can you come over here and help me out? No, they noticed that Moses was tired and they offered their help. Amen? They offered their help. Oh, you need help, Moses? Yeah, here. Here's something to sit on for you. Let me hold up your arm over here. And then, what about the other arm? Hur says, I got it. Amen? We need people that are willing to step up without having to be asked to do everything. Right? If you are a child of God, if you are a born-again believer, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit in an area of service. God says, I want you to be involved in this body of believers to help. Amen? And helping doesn't always look the same. Understand. Helping isn't always, I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor, right? Obviously not everybody's going to be up here preaching, right? That's my job. My job, I use this example, I ripped out carpet, but I'm not a painter, okay? There's a different job for everybody to do, amen? So it doesn't always look the same. I want to make sure everybody understands that. We need people that are willing to do those small jobs. Like I said, all he did was hold up Moses' arms. But that's what got him the victory. Remember what I said? When Moses' arms went down, they started losing. When his arms were up, they had victory. All Hur did was hold up the arms of Moses, and they had victory. So can you imagine the battle stories? Joshua's over there. Oh, I had five guys in front of me, and I was cutting, all the different battle stories you can imagine, right? And then you got Aaron, who's obviously the brother of Moses. He probably got a lot of attention because it's his brother. And you got little old Hur over here. Hey, Hur, what'd you do? I just held up his arms. But guess what? That's what got him the victory. Amen? Sometimes these small jobs that are out there to do, being friendly to visitors, being a friendly face at the door when people walk in, those are small jobs that might go unnoticed, but that's what gives the victory because people feel welcomed. Amen? No job is too small in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord for that. We can all get involved in the way that God would want us to be. I talked about our softball league starting tomorrow, if it doesn't rain us out. And you can't win a game by yourself. You just can't. No matter how good Nick is, he's our MVP, right? But he can't win the game alone. We need Bruce to do, something. We need help, right? You can't win the game alone. Nick is very fast, but he can't play all four positions of the outfield by himself. As fast as he is, we need other people. We need, a body, Peter. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding, but I hope you guys are understanding my point. We need to enlist others. We need to enlist others to help out in the fight, help out in the battle. And then thirdly, we need to envision the victory. I had too much caffeine this morning. I'm talking very fast. Actually, I'm sorry. Before we go on here, we need to sometimes allow others to help. I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes we get stuck in our, well, no, that's my job. Well, there's a way to involve others. There's a way to involve others in that work, even if you feel like, well, that's my job. Don't do that. That's mine. Well, find a way to get them involved. Find a way to share that. Find a way to help. Include others, because guess what? What happens if you're not here? What if you're on vacation? Does that job just not get done? What happens if, you know, God forbid somebody die? Does that job not get done? No. God wants it to go on. Amen? Okay, but thirdly, we need to envision the victory. Look at verse 13 again in our text. It says, and Joshua discomfited, or that means he just defeated him, okay, Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So God gave him the victory. You know why? Because they had confidence that God would give them the victory. If Joshua went down, they're all like, oh man, we just can't win this battle. You know, I don't believe they would have had the victory. If Moses would have went up on the hill like, holding my arms up, really? That's it? Nah, there's no way that'll give us the victory. Then they wouldn't have gotten the victory. Amen? You need to envision the victory. Christian, you and I need to understand that we serve a God who is able. Amen? We serve a God who empowers us. We serve a God who gives us blessings. Now look, is it always going to be smooth sailing? No. But God is able to do the things that he wants to be accomplished in his work. So we need to envision, have the confidence that victory is coming. Sunday school teacher, let's envision your Sunday school rooms filled. If you're in church, let's envision soon we're going to have a choir up here on stage. Let's envision that this choir is going to be filled singing praises to God. Let's envision we're going to be using that baptistry before long because people are going to come through these doors who are going to understand the gospel, see their need for a savior, and they're going to get saved. Let's envision people being discipled. Let's envision reaching out and more visitors come in. Let's envision we got people from all over the community sitting all throughout these pews. Amen? Let's envision the victory that God's going to give us. Or we're going to walk around like, well, I don't know. It's not. I don't know what could happen here. No. Have some confidence that God can do it. If you notice, look at verse number 9 as well. Look at verse 9. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, I know we've already read it, but we're going to read it again. Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill of God, with the rod of God in mine hand. With the rod of God in mine hand. Here's what I want to point out. Earlier on, Moses says, my staff. My staff. And then here in verse number 9, he says, the rod of God in mine hand. You know what he's saying? I know God's going to do it. He didn't say, hey, this staff that I have, I'm just going to raise it. No. He says, the rod of God. Amen? You and I, Christian, we can have confidence that God's going to do it because it's God. Because it's God. It's the one who died on the cross for our sins. The one who rose from the dead. He's the one who tells us to do what we need to do. That's why I have faith that we're going to have victory in these things. That's why I have faith that we're going to see the church grow. We're going to see people saved and discipled. Our Sunday school rooms are going to be overflowing. We're going to have people in the nursery. We're going to have people all throughout this building to the point we're going to have to be building at some point soon. Why? Because God said, this is where I want you, Kurt. And I have a body of believers there that's going to do all these things. And we're going to together give God the glory. And this land is going to be used for him. Amen? I envision that success. I envision the victory. I have vision that what God's going to do, what God can do. Amen? I don't have faith in myself. I have faith in God. I don't have faith in, well, I have faith in you guys, right? But I have faith in God, all right? I have faith in God. How do I know victory's coming? Because God says his word doesn't come back void. And because I know we're going to give him the glory. Amen? We're going to give him the glory. One more time. Look at verse 5. We missed that one. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. So there it is. Moses, it was Moses' staff, but then Moses says, it's the rod of God. So Christian, I want to challenge you today, and I know I was short, but I want to challenge you today. Expect a battle. There's always going to be a battle because the devil wants to knock you off course. We need to enlist others in salvation and in service of the Lord. And then we need to have envision the victory. Why? Because God is able. If you're here today and you've never been saved, understand that you're a sinner. All of us are. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he rose again, proving that he was God. And then come down and confess him as your Savior. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you haven't been saved, today would be an amazing day to do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you. I thank you for the sermon that you laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you'll speak the hearts as only you can. Lord, we can speak till we're blue in the face, but if you're not working, it's not going to make a difference. So God, I pray that you'll be with every heart now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.